The word prayers in verse 1 is the word prosuke. That's the word we just learned, prosuke. Now the other word which is translated supplication is the word deesis. Deesis. D-E-E-S-I-S. Deesis. Deesis, strictly speaking, is translated as supplicating, which is a good translation here. Intercessions, which is used a few other times, is the word entusis. And that word is not found. Oh, I realize that it sounds like something here, right? Sounds like something that you came in on your way here, right? Entusis, right? Not N-T-U-C, right? It's romanized as E-N-T-E-U-X-I-S, entusis. And entusis is not found in the Gospel of Luke. It's mainly found in the other passages, and it means intercession or to stand in between. So that's another type of prayer. Now we just want to get these two words out, the word deesis and the word prosuke, which will occur in the Gospel of Luke. The word deesis and the word prosuke. They both always occur as a pair in the epistles. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and we read verse 18, it says, praying always, there's the word prosuke there, with all prosuke and deesis in the Spirit. So there you have the word prosuke and deesis occurring together as a pair. What is their definition? Prosuke, strictly speaking, means to pour out. To bring out something from inside you. It's different from intercession, which means to stand in between. Here, prosuke means to bring out something from inside you. It implies that you have to have something inside you to bring out. So there is a pulling out of something, drawing out of something from the inside outwards. Deesis, and I search it in the Greek all over the place, and the meaning was a bit hard to come by, although we could try to get it from the English word supplicate. But I wanted a more precise meaning. So for that, I had to go into the Hebrew to see what supplicate means in the Old Testament. And I found that it was even more complex in the Hebrew, because there were about four Hebrew words for supplication. That made this even more complex. One of the Hebrew words, and they're all different, that one you don't have to be bothered, I just read them out, right? It's all funny sounding names like Taka Nunam, Taka Nunov, and Tekina, and Kanan, or Chanan, as somebody pronounce it. These are some of the Hebrew words that are translated supplicate. Although they are as different as day and night, there's one peculiar thing that stands out. All of them mean the same thing. In the Hebrew, all those words mean to ask God for grace. So when I saw the clarity of what the word supplicate means in the Hebrew, and realized that as it's brought forth in the New Testament, and it become the word deesis, then deesis we can define as simply asking God for grace. Asking God for grace. Now we're giving you the tools first. It's important to have the right tools before we analyze the book. Prosuke means to pour out, to bring out something from inside you towards God. Deesis means to draw down. Can you see the opposite? Deesis means to draw grace. The direction is now different. Deesis is drawing grace. And what is grace? Some people use the acronym that grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. Very good. But there are three types or three areas of grace. There is salvation grace, Ephesians 2, verse 8. We are all saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. That word give could apply to grace, could apply to faith, but implies that grace is a gift. There's salvation grace. But there's another type of grace or area of grace. You don't want to use the word type and don't get locked up into splitting hairs over definition. The other area of grace is ministry grace. Ministry grace is a grace that God gives you above salvation to make you what you are in your call to the ministry or in the ministry that you have even if you're not called. Because it's a special area, I'll just quickly give you the scriptures if you don't mind. Just to prove to you there is ministry grace. And turn very quickly to Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, he gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They perceived the grace that was given to Paul. Now, the word grace doesn't mean his salvation. The word grace there, if you look at the context, means the grace to be an apostle. When they perceived the grace on his life to be an apostle, they gave him the right hand of fellowship. And in the book of Romans 12, when it talks about ministries, various types of church ministries, not salvation, because everyone is born again in that situation. In Romans 12, it tells us in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now you see a measure of faith. Now you look at verse 6, how it operates. Having then gifts differing. Now having then gifts, they are different. Having then gifts differing. In other words, it's talking about something that makes you and I different. Whereas salvation grace is what makes you and I the same. We are all born again. We all are kings and priests in Jesus Christ. We all have the same privilege of sitting at the right hand of God the Father with the Lord Jesus Christ, seated in our heavenly places. Now here he's talking about gifts that differ, that make us different, according to the grace that is given to us. See, when the ministry grace comes on your life, you become different. Because you can have the ministry grace to be apostle, ministry grace to be prophet, ministry grace to be evangelist, ministry grace to be pastor, ministry grace to be teacher, ministry grace in the gifts of help, ministry grace in the gift of giving, all kinds of ministry grace that makes you different, makes you the eye, the hand, the leg, the toe, or whichever part of the body of Christ. So there is an area of grace called salvation grace, and there's an area of grace called ministry grace. There's a third area of grace I call operational grace. Now, ministry grace, you can also find Ephesians 4. 11 and 12 talks about fivefold ministry, but please read 3, 4, 5. You will find that it talks about grace. Grace. How Jesus Christ gave grace. Through His grace, make all the different ministries. So, the third one is operational grace. There are another deep area to teach on. And so, I just give the outline that there are these three areas of grace. And when we say deisis is drawing grace, we can see that deisis especially apply to ministry grace. We need to draw the grace of God for ministry. We need to learn to draw on the grace of God. Grace in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is defined to be a position of favor with God. If you ask a Christian, what is grace? To them, grace is a position. I want you to know that we can define grace as two things in the New Testament. Why? Because now that we are born again, we have a human spirit. Grace is a position. Grace is a substance. A spiritual substance that's imparted into our life. Paul speaks about it as if it was something alive within him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says here in verse 10, For by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, or in me, as the Greek says. So you see, he regards grace as something living, alive, a commodity and substance that was in him, that made him an apostle, that made him whatever God called him to be, that made him a teacher. So that in the end, when we all stand before God, none of us can boast. We can only say, God, we are able to do what we do because you put your grace in us. See that whole purpose? So that God gets the glory. Whatever good things can come out of our life, it's not because we were good or we were righteous or we were smart or we were anything. It's because God put His gift into our lives through His grace. So that He gets all the glory in the end. So we see that deis is learning to draw grace from God. And as we have those tools, let's look here at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. 1, 2, and 3 begins the birth and the childhood of Jesus, and it starts with John the Baptist's parents. And here we have, in Luke chapter 1, the sudden appearance of the angel to Zechariah, and it says here in verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. The Gospel of Luke begins with a prayer being answered. For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now the word prayer there is the word deis. For your prayer is heard. So we can understand here is Zechariah. He had been childless for a long time. And as he grew older, he noticed that it's impossible in the natural for him to have anything. And so he draw grace from God. He asked for God's grace to be upon his life. And finally the angel of God appeared to him and said, the grace of God is given unto him, his prayer is heard, and he's going to have this child. And when you read that, you understand why the prayer is answered that way. You see, Zechariah didn't really get his answer through faith. He got his answer through grace. There are many types of prayer. There's a prayer of faith. Remember, there's a prayer of faith. And the law that operates a prayer of faith is different from the law that operates a prayer of deis for grace. The prayer of faith operates on visualizing, believing, and confession. The prayer of grace is a different realm altogether. And here he's asking through grace, which was why when the angel appeared and said, your prayer is heard. He's wondering, which prayer? I mean, the angel said, your prayer is heard, you are now going to have a son. And he said, how can that be? Obviously, he did not really believe. If he was really praying the prayer of faith, he would say, hallelujah, I've been claiming that for nearly 90 years. Different reaction. It was the mercy of God. John the Baptist has to come forth. But there was one good thing on their side. They were righteous people. They walked righteously. And he was in unbelief. I'm not making up. You read every. It's because of his unbelief that day he could not talk. What other evidence? The angel must have said, this is dangerous to let this guy talk. He may cancel our miracle. To his lack of faith. And so the angel said, look at what the angel said. Here is Zechariah in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? He tells all the difficult things. I'm old, my wife is old, we are all old, and you are young. Because angels never grow old.